thought if I'd wait long enough, somebody'd sing a special, but I see some people out there that could do that. I'm not going to call any names, though. The church in the world. 2 Corinthians 6, verses 14 through 18. We're just exactly where God wants us. You would think that He'd want to separate us out in the sense of building a special place like the Garden of Eden and then put all of His children in that place where Satan would be forbidden to come into and where there would be a heaven on earth. But that would not serve the purpose for which He left us in this earth, on this earth. We know that He did give us a commission, literally a command, as Peter says in the book of Acts, to go into all the world, to be witnesses of Him, and to disciple those who have an ear to hear, and when they're turned from their sins and repentance and trust in Jesus Christ, then they're immersed and come into the fellowship of a New Testament church where they too can worship in spirit and truth and be in contact with the foundation of all truth, the pillar and ground of the truth. But as we are in the world where He wants us to be, I believe He also wants us to be different from the world so that we can be identified by our acts as a church, by the atmosphere that exists when we come together, by that presence of the Holy Spirit not only in us dwelling as a person, but in us dwelling as an institution, that people may believe and actually know that they have been in the presence of God and God's people, and that we are an asset to His work individually as we live out our lives, not present in congregational capacity. Paul has written many strong admonitions to the church at Corinth because they had a lot of corrections to make in order to be an effectual witness in the city of Corinth. And this is one of the strongest arguments that he makes, that God's people as an institution ought to be different in their behavior and that they ought to live separated from that which is not taught and true to the Word of God. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning at verse 14. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. The institution that preceded the church was the nation of Israel. They were, according to the Bible, a peculiar people. That is, a people different from all the other tribes and nations and ethnic groups that populated the earth. They were a peculiar treasure, that is, a treasure to God. that was peculiar to him in the sense of being very precious and bearing his name. They are referred to as a holy nation, also as a holy people, and in another place as a special people. Now, if you have studied your Bible and read the history of the nation of Israel, you know that they did not always walk in obedience to God. In fact, their obedience to God in its fullness was rare. They did those things that Paul mentions here that the congregation at Corinth should not be doing. But in spite of all of their sins and their false worship, their unbelief and their challenge and rebellion against God, they were still a peculiar people, a peculiar treasure, a holy nation, a holy people, and a very special people. God dwelt in their midst, in the tabernacle and in the temple. Now this worship offered in the Jewish institution or system is no longer valid. Jesus came and fulfilled the law and set aside all of the sacrifices and all of that which symbolized his person, his character, and his work on earth. The blood offering of animals ceased because the one great offering of blood, that is the blood of Jesus, had been completed. And that satisfied God. And in the place of Israel as a nation, being the institution that taught his word and that served the living God, came what we refer to today as the church. And we're talking about a New Testament church. And the fact that in the city of Corinth there were many opportunities for worshiping or allowing people to come into worship or going outside the congregation to worship in other circumstances. And this was not going to be tolerated by those who knew that God was not pleased with the way they interacted with other nations that are other groups, religious groups that were in the city of Corinth. We have so much emphasis today upon the subject of being diverse and yet one. We are told over and over again that diversity is the very strength of our nation. And that may well be true. At least I like a menu that's from a lot of other nations. Not bad. But when it comes to religious matters, diversity is forbidden. Not in racial groups. I'm not speaking about that. I'm talking about what we believe as people and what we practice as people. I think the question that needs to be asked again, as it was asked once in the Old Testament, how can two walk together except they be agreed? There has to be unity in the church of the living God. And the unity that we must possess is a unity of belief and a unity of practice. That's why God has left us in this world, to show forth the glory of Jesus Christ in and among his people. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. That is, do not count as equal those who have no faith. Because when you hook a person who has faith to people who have no faith, then the people who have no faith will hinder the people who have some faith. And they cannot get along. They will not work as a team in the service of God. And I thank God that we have believers, committed believers, that our unity is something that we can thank God for. And so we don't have that problem. But Paul asked some questions that need answering. These are serious questions. He's not hurting people. He'll be all right. I've heard that before. I don't know whether y'all heard any of that before or not. Somebody asked me, said one time, does a baby crying bother you, Brother Penn? And I said, no, it's when they don't cry that bother me. I can talk louder than they can cry. I used to could anyway. I don't know whether I can now or not. We're blessed and are going to be blessed some more pretty soon. So get used to it. Now, Paul asked some questions in verse 14 as he made this pronouncement, which is literally a commandment. Don't hook up with faithless people. They will hinder you. They will spoil your effort. But what? And here's his argument. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Now, if you hook up people of faith with people who have no faith, then this is an unequal yoke, and the load cannot be pulled successfully. Now, he's using the same argument. For what fellowship or what agreement hath righteousness with unrighteous? We have righteous people made righteous by their faith in Jesus Christ. We have unrighteous people who do not believe in Jesus Christ, and you put righteous people and unrighteous people in the same yoke, you still cannot work together. It is an unequal yoke. And what communion hath light with darkness? Again, the argument is you cannot have light and have darkness. You cannot have darkness and have light. You say, well, we want half darkness and half light. No, you cannot yoke up darkness and light, for they are two different things that are contradictory one to another. You can hook up light and have more light, darkness and darkness and have more darkness, but they cannot be unequally yoked together and serve together. And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Now, the word concord is the word that we get symphony from. Symphony is when all the instruments are blended together in one musical presentation and all of the instruments are working together. Therefore, there is symphony. Sim being together and phonos being sound. We have a pleasant sound because all of these are tuned together and work together. Some things really don't belong in a symphony because they have contradictory sounds. Now, Belial is simply another word for Satan. Probably was well known in the Corinthian city as the enemy of righteousness, the enemy of light, Belial, the father of darkness, the father of unrighteousness, but he really means was Satan. And Satan is the father of turmoil. Satan is the instigator of that which is disharmonious. So when you take what is sympathy or symphony, I should say, and that which is without harmony and without symphony, you put those together and they will clash. But we're talking about things that do not go together so as to further the cause of Christ, but actually hinder it. Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? This again is faith and not faith. It's really a negative of faith. What part has a faith person with a no faith person? why would you yoke those two people together? And how harmonious will they work together? So when we try to unite with other groups in order to serve God, we create this situation that Paul is talking about. I imagine that in the city of Corinth, there were a lot of pageants. I imagine in the city of Corinth, there were a lot of holidays. And that the church was under pressure, or at least its people were under pressure to celebrate these holidays. And when they celebrated these holidays with the people that had arisen in this particular group, and they might have been those who worshiped some idol, some false god, or they were unrighteous in their activities in the sense of immoral acts, Paul is saying you cannot join with these groups in the city of Corinth. Your people cannot be a part of these things lest they lose their testimony and we have Christ and Belial hooked to the same cart trying to pull, and it simply won't work. Now, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? They had a lot of temples. Temples erected to many idols in the religion of paganism, which there were at least 39 of these idols that were worshipped. And there might have been a temple to 10 or 15 of these idols, perhaps even more, because Corinth, while a city of commerce, the ships were coming in and leaving constantly, and there were people who came into Corinth on the ships or come to be involved in commerce that came from many, many places on the earth. They brought goods from many places in the earth, spices from India, all these things at that particular time. And Paul is saying, look, you are the temple of God. As a congregation, you people cannot join in with these people in idol worship without losing your testimony. So you can't hook true religion and false religion in a yoke system which is designed so they can work together. They will simply pull against one another. They will not cooperate together because their goals, their beliefs are all different. And when there's a call for a citywide worship service, I don't expect to attend. He said, well, at least on Thanksgiving you could forget your narrow-minded stuff and worship with. No, not really. How can two walk together except they be agreed? I'd have to forget some things I believe, and they'd have to forget some things they believe for us to walk together, and I'm not willing to step away from my deep commitments to the truth of God so that I can share in some service that people may think reflects a better understanding, lowers the competition between groups, etc., etc. I'm not in competition with anybody. I'm not in competition with another Baptist preacher. I'm not in competition with another Baptist church. I'm not in competition with any other church in this city or other cities. I am doing what I do because I believe what I do and what we do makes us a peculiar people, that makes us a people that is pleasing to God, and that I do not want to wear a yoke that yokes me up with an unbeliever or yokes this church up with unbelievers or faithless people, that is, people who do not share the same faith. Now, what agreement? Can you find a single, solitary, solid middle ground between the temple of God and the temple of idols. Paul is simply saying there is no agreement between these. And he said, ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them, in their very midst, and walk in their midst. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And that's the whole purpose of what we are involved in this morning, to be a temple of the living God. That is, a temple that God is pleased to dwell or make his home in our midst. A temple where God will walk in our midst. A temple where God is willing to be our God. And he will call us his people. And here's what he wants these people to do, who have been engaged in some attempt at, we'll go with the idol group this Sunday and we'll go with God's group this Sunday, or we can sort of meld these two faith, these two groups together. We'll take these infidels who have no faith, we'll take these people who are righteous and have faith, and we'll find some common ground upon which we can come together and at the same time worship an idol and worship a god. We may have to even make an idol to Jehovah God, which is absolutely forbidden, but we could sort of share these things. They must have been involved in some type of cooperative worship or attempt at cooperative worship because Paul pleads with them. Wherefore come out from among them? Come out from among whom? Whom should they come out from among? Well, as the people who, when come together, represent the living and the true God, and who are the people of God, he's not calling them out from himself, but he's calling them out of their walk in the world that identifies them with that which is darkness and unrighteousness and faithlessness, because we have no common agreement with these circumstances. And be ye separate. And this has gotten Baptist people in a lot of trouble. We believe God wants us to be a peculiar people. Not weird, we have enough of that, but precious and particular in that we seek to please him. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I think he's saying, if you will do what I'm asking you to do, do not try to make an agreement or yoke up with that which is not of faith, with not of righteousness, of that which is of Belial, that if you as a light will not try to have communion with darkness, I will receive you. And I think he has reference to the fact that he will receive what we offer him. What are we offering to God as a congregation of people? Why would we expect anything to happen or to please God if we're not offering God something? And we are offering God something this morning. We're offering God something that pleases him. We are offering God something that he demands from us as his peculiar and his chosen people. People in Christ. He will receive our worship. He will receive our gifts. He will receive our prayers. And he said, I will be a father unto you. That is, I will be to you as a father is to obedient children, not as a father is to disobedient children. Israel never has learned her lesson. She has been humiliated. She has been dispersed. She has been allowed to become a slave nation. She is allowed disease and pestilence all to come into her life or her existence as a nation, and never has learned the lesson that our good life depends upon our obedience to Jehovah God. Now, I'm not saying if we will do what is commanded here in these scriptures that God will make us all good looking. That'd be a big job. Or he would make us all wealthy. Or that he would make us all healthy. But you shall be my sons and daughters. And what else should we desire in our heart of hearts than to be a son of God, with God as our father, or to be known as one of God's daughters? What greater desire could we have? What would be more noble for us to pursue than to say with all authority and with all gladness that God is our Father and we are His sons and we are His daughters? And this wasn't a king of the earth who made this statement. It wasn't a president of a republic. But Paul ends, saith the Lord Almighty. It is God Almighty who has said, I will be your father. You can be my sons. You can be my daughters. But you can't reflect that relationship going over to the worship of idols with your neighbor or involving yourself in an unrighteous act in business or in a circumstance where honesty is required and ethics. You can't mix it up and please God. We need to be separate, have faith, hooked up with faith. Unrighteousness set aside, and righteousness and righteousness as a team. And all the other things that are mentioned here in these scriptures. It's going to be more and more difficult for God's people to stand as a separate and holy group. Pressure will come from every point of our compass, whether the moral compass or the political compass or the religious compass, and it'll begin to put pressure on us and say, you are not being what you ought to be because you do not yoke up with these people who are just as good as you are, but they may believe differently, but you won't hook up with them, and that hurts the concept of our diversity being our strength. So you really need to mix in with your congregation some unbelievers and some unrighteous people and some who worship Belial and on and on. No, we as a congregation need to be pure because we're washed in the blood of Jesus. That's what he says about his church, without spot and without blemish. Let's stand and sing.
We can't save anybody. We don't even try to save anybody.